All right, so we're going to begin our formal public budget hearing. You already have the series of questions that were asked about it with some reference points. So we're going to move on. For those of you who don't remember, this is Anthony Juskowitz. He is our business administrator. Hold on a second. Technologies. Okay. The budget process really begins with the needs and goals that are driving budget decisions. And those begin with the strategic plan. We have a strategic plan that the community and staff participated in and designed for 2015 to 2019. And it talks about academically flexible and balanced curriculum in a supportive environment, technology being integral to our education, strengthening communication and building responsive partnerships, and developing an annual needs-based budget that addresses financial and facilities requirements while remaining fiscally responsible to the taxpayers. Mr. Juskowitz?
Thank you very much, Dr. Clark. I'm hoping you'll be able to keep your parched voice going. The proposed budget will decrease the school tax levy by 0.005. We're going down with our tax levy by about $105,000. The tax rate is $1.06 for the school district taxes for the upcoming 16-17 school year. Last year, the tax rate was at $1.07. The average assessed value of a home in Clinton Township is $397,088. The tax impact based on that value for next year will be, the yearly decrease will be a negative $23.24, it's going down, and the monthly decrease, if you break that $23 down, would equate to a decrease of $1.94 per month.
I just want to remind people, not everybody is familiar with the idea of the average assessed value. That's not what your home would sell for tomorrow, all right? That's what its assessed value is and how your taxes are created.
This chart that we have here, I'm just showing what our budget expenditures were over the last 4 years. As you can see on the bottom, Our budget has gone up basically less than 1% over the last several years. You can see that in 13-14, 14-15, and 15-16. You see what that has gone up in each of those years. And in 16-17, the decrease in spending of $103,574,000.
Those expenditures were part of what were in that table that the town council used that was referenced in one of their questions.
And what I've done here is just to give you a little overview on how the expenditures look. They're somewhat, they look somewhat similar, but you know, there are certain areas that have gone down due to some of the decreases that we have spoken about in the budget, particularly the benefits, some of our other costs such as, I believe, instruction. Instruction that has pretty much been stable. Basically, some benefits that have gone down considerably.
So we talked about some of the budget highlights. All right. When we do the budget presentation, we do not go through every line of the budget. That user-friendly budget is posted online, and you can easily reference that. Where you can see individual budget lines. I just try and point out some of the highlights for people to be aware of when they're looking at it. So we are decreasing 5 teaching positions and 5 teaching assistant positions overall. This equates to $505,000 and change Some of these positions will be through attrition and not replacing retiring staff. Teaching assistant positions are reduced. We have a number of graduating students at our middle school, and so there is a reduction there. The above decrease in positions has reduced the health benefits budget, so you see a decrease in that. As the general education population declines, so does the special education population. So, due to a decrease in special education numbers, there will be some reductions in contracted time for the learning disabilities teacher consultant. We use some services for that, physical therapy services. We are not reducing, I want to be clear about this, we are not reducing time for students who need it based on IEPs. What we're doing is, as we lose students, we have less students who require that, and that's creating the reduction in those outside services, all right? We're not taking away time from the students we have. This was another question in the 26 questions. I think there was a misunderstanding, and I want to be clear that curriculum technology is not increasing. That budget is not increasing by $370,000. All right, but we wanted to account for some of the unfunded mandates. So the public would get an idea of equating the laws and regulations with some additional costs to the district. So when we talk about the Common Core, all right, and professional development, reading, writing workshops, utilizing the teacher's college model, there's a cost to that. It is worth every penny, by the way, if you've been in our classrooms and you see the change that our teachers have enacted with reading and writing instruction. The dyslexia law, all right, has really given us some requirements in terms of not only professional development, but materials and programs, assessments for students. We are really evaluating every student as they enter our schools, and there's an additional cost to that of $55,000. There's the next generation science standards. We're utilizing more hands-on materials, supplementary lab supplies, related texts, and we're really working with the high school. We've had some wonderful meetings with our staff and the high school staff, really trying to make it a seamless change and growth for our kids, so that what they're doing here really flows right into the high school program. And by working with them, working together, collaborating, I think we're gonna have some really positive results for the future. We have PARC, of course, with summer curriculum writing. We've heard from parents at this meeting some concerns about Go Math and training there, and we listen to those concerns. We're working on that. We've got an equation editor, math parent resource books. And we're also doing an online benchmarking program. We are changing from MAP to Renaissance. We've been actually doing a pilot for that, we're presenting some material to the board so they can look at that and be sure that that's the program we want to look at in our curriculum committee. We have HIV documentation, teacher evaluation, software, and we're moving to a one-to-one program with Chromebooks for grades 7 and 8. So that was some of the updating wiring increases, the bandwidth, and those increased costs that we have the lease purchase for that we talked about before, to about $150,000. We have capital improvements as well. So at Patrick McGarren in Round Valley, our our wastewater treatment plants. When we talked a lot about those capital reserve accounts and that chart with the list of improvements throughout the district, these are really critical. We have four buildings and two wastewater treatment sewer plants that we maintain. These are very expensive propositions and frankly need constant monitoring and repair. So over the past 2 years, we've spent about $210,000 and we're budgeting an additional $350,000 for next year. At CTMS, SRS, Spruce Run, and Patrick McGarren, brick repointing will continue. I want to just mention, I recently received a question about brick repointing. Someone thought that I made an error about that maybe it was brick repainting or something else. Repointing is critical to the schools, all right? Repointing is, you know, you look at those, all that cement work between the all the bricks. If you do not repoint that, if you do not repair that, that stuff falls off buildings and does damage, all right? And as you know, cement wears away over time, all right? And that's what that repointing actually is. And if you don't do it, you really can't protect your building envelope. At Spruce Run School, we have 8 rooms that we're gonna remove the carpeting and asbestos tiles underneath there, and 11 rooms will be totally retiled at a cost of $83,000.
Just to reiterate some of the things in those 26 questions that were reviewed earlier, there were several years of defeated budgets, and where those areas were most cut during time was in our buildings. And the buildings have suffered much during the course of the year. And when I was first brought on board to the school district, one of my first jobs on the board during their interviews asked me many questions about my experience in buildings. So at this point, I'm trying to bring the buildings, the facilities, the parking lots, the classrooms back to prominence so everybody has a great learning environment. So with that being said, that's why we have all these projects that are going on at this present time. And hopefully, as time goes along, we can cease putting the amount of money that we need to put into the buildings once a maintenance plan is put into place. And that's the overall objective as time goes along. At this point, just wanted to reiterate before what I was saying about with the tax levy. As you see, what the tax levy was last year, $22,918,742. Next year, it will be $105,326 lower. It will be $22,813,416. Again, in the 26 questions that were brought up earlier about our state aid has remained flat over the last few years, except for this year. We had an increase of $34,406. Our budget calendar, as you can see, we had our presentation back on March 21st, which was the preliminary budget. We haven't had much in the way of change from the last time till now. So we are doing our public hearing this evening. And at this point, once the budget is approved by our board this evening, we will move forward in the budget for next year. And the budget contains no waivers that would increase the budget past the 2% cap. I don't know if anybody has ever read the newspaper. Some school districts can go over that 2%, and there are certain waivers that you can do so, such as for health benefits, enrollment, and a few others. At this point, we haven't had the need to utilize those waivers in quite a few years, and do not have any intention to for the next school year budget. I'd like to thank you for coming out and for listening to our long presentation with both questions and the budget.
Yes, thank you for sticking with us. Does the board have any questions?
Any questions for Dr. Clark or Mr. Juskiewicz this evening? Kevin?
Hi. during your presentation, I just was taking a couple of notes, and I'm familiar with some of these programs and budgets over the years, so I just wanted to point out for those who might not be as familiar. You called off some statistics for staff. So like in 12-13, our staff was at 275. In 16-17, we're projecting 253. So over that four-year period, we've reduced 22 staff, or approximately 8% in 4 years. So that obviously helps us lower our budget. On out-of-district placements, in 12-13, we had 13 out-of-district placements, and in 16-17, we're projecting 9. So same period of time over that 4 years, we reduced placements by 4%, which is 4 students, which is about 31%. But that's about $480,000 with the average cost per student. So that's a reduction. But one thing I wanted to point out, you know, you can't look at these things line by line because it's a somewhat of a living document. You lose in one area, you gain in another. One of our few sources of aid from the state, other than state aid, is the school choice aid. So again, that's variable based on the enrollment. But at our high point, which was 13-14, we were at about 1.45 million. That was the most we ever got from the state. And actually, Dr. Clark published it by year. I think next year will be our sixth. And that will actually be our lowest year. We'll go down from 1.5 to 507. So you can see in some areas, you know, we're reducing costs in staffing, we're reducing costs in out-of-district placement. That is some revenue from the state, and Clinton Township and townships in this area don't get a lot of state revenue. That's one of the areas where the program's being reduced, so we have to look for other ways to make up for that loss. But that aid did help us in time, 5.9 million over 6 years, to maintain some of these programs, to strengthen some of the programs. We made some purchases where we were able to hire staff at times, but it's an expense that it doesn't survive forever. So it's something we have to look at every year and modify our budget. But it did help the township over the period of time we've participated. And then the last thing I wanted to say or ask for Dr. Clark or the Board of Education, you know, we've talked about this in multiple meetings, but you know, at this point in time, we've been discussing school closing. And my question is, at this point in time, is it advisable to close a school without significantly impacting our education programs?
If you wanted to take your students, I said this to some parents at the PTA meeting, right? You can take any number of students and move them into any number of buildings. So if you said you have 1368 and you want to go down to 2 buildings, right? My answer to you would be, of course you can do that, all right? But you're going to impact your educational program, right? So based on the enrollment numbers we have, you can't do that at this moment in time without having an impact, a negative impact, on your educational program, all right? And the example I gave to some of the PTA parents earlier was, you know, if you're going to move students into 3 buildings, let's just say it's 3 buildings, not 2 buildings, all right? You have to move 6th grade to your middle school. That's your most logical option. But we don't have enough science labs for our 6th graders to move into the middle school at this time, all right? So if you don't have that, and you have next generation science standards, which are a state mandate, a very important state mandate to curriculum, all right, and you want your children, we've worked with the high school now to create a much more seamless program from kindergarten through grade 12 for science, all right, a learning. Then what we want to do is make sure we have those labs available to those 6th graders. So I can't say to you as a board that you should move those 6th graders into the middle school until you have what you need in that middle school for those kids, right? Because we've worked too hard over the years to enhance our academic programs, I don't think at this point you really want to diminish them in any way. So I do not believe the schools are ready yet. That would take time to do, and it's going to take time. You have to do your cost-benefit analysis. You have to look at a lot of things in your building before you can make that decision.
Any other questions from the board for Dr. Clark? Mr. Juskowitz? Thank you, Dr. Clark. Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 16-SU014. Motion, Ms. Vandroff. Second, please.
Second.
Ms. McLaughlin, any questions for Dr. Clark this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Vandroff.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski.
Yes.
Mrs. McGill.
Yes.
Mrs. Rudelgoda.
Yes.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair and consistent and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. This evening, the board will take note and gather all the questions asked at the podium this evening and answer them at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 45 minutes.
Hi, my name is Amy Marks. I live at 5 Cottonwood Court in Clinton. I'd like to first thank our teachers. Again, we have the best teachers in the state. It would take 10 teachers to replace Mr. Stinner when he retires, so I appreciate that. I also like to thank Kevin Sturgis, because every time I'm here, you ask questions, and I appreciate that. It makes me think that you're actually listening and comprehending everything that things are being said, so I really appreciate that. And I'm happy to hear, hopefully, that there may be some resolution in the contract, which I think 3 years to me. I'm just happy all the great teachers show up every day, so thank you for showing up for my child, actually. So I do have some questions. I wanted to understand, we keep saying the terminology user-friendly budget, and it concerns me when I hear that comment. It makes me think that this is a roll-up of something that I'm not able to see the detail of. And so if somebody could answer if there is another budget, for those of us who like to use Excel and would like to see the unrolled-up format, to me it just seems, it's a weird buzzword to me that seems like there must be some other budget I don't get to see. So I'd like to understand that. Because I hear things like the savings and the reduction of staff that we've had, the bus contract that we saved all this money on that my child still had to go 45 minutes even though we live 5 minutes away. The source for teachers that we saved lots of money on, and the reduction obviously in your chart on benefits. I am one of those people, I would like to see where that money got reshifted around in the living budget. And so if I'm not able to see that in the year to date from the user-friendly budget, I'm one of those parents that would like to understand that. As well the out-of-district placements that we mentioned. So I'd like to know about that. And then my question is, you know, on administrative costs, you noted not being filled. Just because a position's not filled doesn't mean it's not allocated in the budget unless you've decided to shift some of that money away. So I want to know if you think we're hiring somebody in 6 months if you didn't allocate those 6 months of budget and we saved it somewhere else. Because it's a little strange to me that we've only reduced one administrative staff to a part-time without benefits 3 days, and yet we're losing 5 teachers and 5 student teachers. My child needs great teachers. That's why we moved here. I cry every day when my child comes home and is so excited with Ms. Nolan and Mr. Stinner, the same way she did with Mrs. Ferry, the same way she did with, you know, my first grade teachers, Mrs. John Starpoli. We have fantastic teachers. We can't lose five teachers and five student teachers. I'd rather lose an administrator or two. My kid is involved every day with these teachers, so I think that's a travesty to have that happen. And then, you know, I would say that I also noted that, you know, we're talking about $23 of a decrease. I'm one of those families. I'd be happy if I'll vote the next time, whenever we have to vote on a budget, if my money is being used responsibly, I'll be happy to pay $50, $100, you know, $500 if my school is actually behaving and acting appropriately with our monies, and if we can actually put the money into the teachers that actually impact our kids every day. Mr. Juskowitz actually noted bringing buildings back to prominence. We're talking about possibly closing a school. I'm happy Ms. Clark actually discussed the fact that this is not a good thing. At the last meeting, I didn't get that from the board at all. It was a very confusing time, at least the meeting that I was at. Because if you're really bringing all these buildings back to prominence as a construction professional, when you vacate these buildings, you will still have to pay for them to be upkept. And the minute you don't use them, you might as well kiss them goodbye, because they will go into decay and disarray, and they will never be a priority on the budget, and so you will never get them up and running ever again. So I would never want to see a school being closed, and I like the fact that my second grader is on a bus with only second and third graders and doesn't have to be with sixth graders on a bus learning that there's, I don't know if there's kids in here, that things don't exist that they shouldn't know about. But, and, you know, the last thing I would say is that it makes me very uncomfortable that we are bringing up such, first of all, the thing about the town, we'll be at that meeting this week, hopefully all other parents will be, because I'm shocked to hear that we haven't paid our school board. But the last thing I would say is that during this uncertainty in our presidential election, all corporate entities aren't making any big decisions this year. Nobody makes a big decision when we have no idea what's going on in this country, and I would implore our township and our Board of Education also to follow that suit and have a wait-and-see attitude to see what's actually going to be occurring over the next several years. So I appreciate that, and our teachers are the best.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Fletcher. I live at 31 Summit Court, and my daughter is in second grade, the same amazing class with Mr. Stinner and Mrs. Nolan. And I have a son who is 4 years old and will be entering Spruce Run for kindergarten in a year and a half. I understand that you said, hopefully we'll be, you know, it looks like we're gonna settle with the contract. But as someone who, I do have my master's in education, and I've been in a few different school districts for student teaching, and most of my friends are teachers, and I understand that you can say, oh yeah, it looks great, and 2.5 years later, it still looks great. My daughter, just like Mackenzie, comes home from school and is so happy because she has what she feels is her mom and dad at school. She reads with her brother, and when he does something great, she will do the seal of approval, and she'll do all the amazing, supportive, wonderful things that she learns in the class that is not part of the curriculum, but part of just having an amazing teacher. I am not from Hunterdon County. I am from Morristown, New Jersey. I have been working as a forensics, the public speaking coach of the interim team over at Ridge High School. My husband and I chose to come to Hunterdon County because it was an amazing school district in an amazing area. And that just, we haven't met that. By losing teachers, by teachers who are leaving the profession entirely because of the bad taste they have in their mouth from being disrespected, it's heartbreaking. And I mean, realistically, we can go elsewhere, just like people aren't moving here because it's embarrassing. There's no contract for this long. That's humiliating. It's like, oh yeah, that's our district. And but realistically, I understand why when I suggest my friends move close, why they aren't. And like I said, we could go elsewhere. My mom's still in Morristown. I could move in with her. I want to say, Sorry, I'm a public speaking coach and I'm shaking. The fact that we were clapping and applauding early, you know, feels like 3 hours ago, we were clapping and applauding for the Reading Olympics. I really, just if you could remember.
Mrs. Fletcher, I'm sorry.
You're at 3 minutes.
Stop, if you could okay, just summarize
great.
For me,
so
please.
Just remember that it's the teachers that are doing that. And then, please just remember that it's teachers like Mr. Stinner, Mrs. Nolan, Mrs. Snee, three of the greatest teachers that this district has, and that we want to have more districts, more teachers like that in this district.
Thank you. Thank you.
Big one? I might have to start singing. The louder the laughter, the more you know it's true. Okay. Are there still council members in the house? Hi.
They're back.
Thank
there.
You for hanging in there and staying here with us and listening, and we really appreciate that you're here and that you stayed. There's just a few things that I wanted to put out there to the universe that I have some concerns about that I've heard over the last week or so of all the things being put out on Facebook and jersey.com and everywhere else. So there's just a few things that I want to put out there to all three groups and to the community members like myself. I'm having a hard time understanding if what the council is concerned about is true. How our board members would benefit from that. I am, because these are our community members that represent me and us, so I'm having a hard time understanding that and would like some answers on that. I've also learned in the last few days that our district has, in the past, not had charges for permits, and then recently, as of the last few months, now they're being charged for permits for maintenance and improvements at the school. I would like to know why. And I just am really not sure as how to moving the vote back to April, which is also what I'm getting the vibe that is the hope for the council, how that doing that would be a positive impact on our schools either. As far as I've researched, there is no other school in New Jersey, or very, very few that do it in April. Again, if we're looking to make our district appear stronger, be stronger, entice people to come here, I just don't know how moving it back to April would do that. But again, I'm open for as much information as anyone can give. Okay, with that being said, I have a statement. I've been here almost 11 years, three children. I've created a tremendous amount of relationships through my volunteerism. I want to say to you all and to the council, I get it. I volunteer. You know that. I put myself in leadership roles throughout the community in many, many ways, in the church, in our sports, in your classrooms, in the PTA. You name it, I've done it, and I'll continue to do it. It's who I am. I was a teacher. Forever I'll be. So thank you for your volunteerism, and I know how hard it is to be in a leadership position and have people depending on you and trying to do your best for everyone, and it's sometimes not always coming across that way, or even in my own situation, being able to recognize when maybe my ideas or efforts aren't necessarily the best and having to reevaluate. And the same to our teachers.
I apologize.
We're there. We're at three.
Just
ready? Here we go. We are community divided. One, two, three. Lots of finger pointing on all sides, but little to no support or cohesiveness to show for it. No one wins and no one will win if our community leaders don't redirect their energies to what's really important. The children, our schools, and our community's reputation. Everyone needs to wake up, take a good look in the mirror, and let go of whatever personal agenda you might have. I encourage you all to take some ownership and reevaluate why you are in the position you chose to be in. A position, may I remind you, that you took to strengthen this community, not tear it down. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Rose.
Clark Mills, 73 Old Mount Road, Clinton Township. Oh, thank you. Sorry about that. I think what's important in government is transparency, especially given the current presidential election where finances and money are such a huge issue for us all. Ms. Grant, I think it's very unfortunate that you chose to characterize the Clinton Township Council's interest in our schools as interference. Public finance and public government is transparent by law. The public gets to come up here and ask questions about your budget, yet you seem to suggest the council is somehow errant in doing something wrong by asking you questions. They have the same rights to ask questions about public finance as I do or anyone else here does. For you to suggest that they're interfering, when you could instead welcome their questions, thank them, answer the questions, and move on, all I see is a very belligerent reaction, and it's kind of ridiculous. Because when you live in a glass house, you should not throw stones. In 2006, the Clinton Township School District Business Administrator failed to account for a $1.3 million interest payment on a bond and couldn't make the payment. Now, if there's a tax administration matter between you and the town council, you can handle it in an appropriate way. When your business administrator couldn't make a $1.3 million interest payment because she blew it, she came to the town and the town loaned her the $1.3 million to go make the payment. 3 months later, it turned out she had flubbed a $900,000 second interest payment, which she came to the township and asked to borrow the money. The town council loaned you the money, made no big deal about it, didn't embarrass you, didn't take the nuclear option that you just did to threaten to sic your lawyer on them. Next year at this time, as a taxpayer, I fully expect that we're going to be voting on your budget again. And as has happened in the past, and this is because of your behavior and your lack of transparency, what's going to happen is, as in the past, your budgets are going to get rejected by taxpayers year after year after year. The town council, you have an auditor, they're going to hire a forensic auditor like we used to review your budget, and then they're going to slash your budget by millions of dollars like we did without any adverse impacts on the quality of education in the classroom. We cut money out of administration, hidden funds, and waste, just like it's being juggled around in your line items now. So all I want to say to you is, next year, remember that I told you this. You're going to have a budget election, it's going to get rejected, and the town council will not be interfering. The town council will be exercising its mandatory powers to review your budget and to cut it. That's what you're bringing on yourselves, and that's what you're bringing on teachers, parents, and students. You really have no business characterizing what the town council is doing as interference when you could have a friendly attitude and welcome their questions like you supposedly welcome ours.
Paul Marks, 5 Cottonwood Court. I'd just like to say to the previous speaker, while I'm no fan of Mrs. Grant, I find your out-and-out threat from this podium reprehensible and inappropriate in this venue. Coming back to my questions or statements and statements, I'd like to know if the board was given any reasons for non-payment from the township of why we have 3 current outstanding. My next statement is, when you get to the part of the presentation coming up or your vote or your analysis of the school closure, as I asked in the last meeting, I'd like to see a cost benefit from the board. I had asked if it was a 1-for-1 in the last meeting, or whether it was a 20% reduction, 15, 10, 5, 0, or added costs. I'd still like to see that question answered. And lastly, in regards to the town council, meeting is this Wednesday, this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the public safety building. Thank you.
Never stood at this podium before. This is a new one.
Your
Kevin,
name?
Kevin Malloy, 15 David Post Road. It's been put to me that I should ask questions in public. I think that's a good idea. I originally intended on coming here making a quick statement. I am biased. I was a board member for 4 years. I did chair finance and facilities for 3 of those 4 years, and I know what goes into this budget. I was here until midnight for public hearings. I appreciate the work you're doing, but some other things have been said tonight that I think required me to make a statement. Two speakers ago, our former mayor made some interesting statements about transparency, auditors, budget elections. These are interesting concepts that I think can be applied many different ways. I'd like to first thank Dr. Clark for answering each of those questions in order and in full detail. I'd like to thank Dr. Clark and Mr. Juskowitz for giving a detailed and public vetting of this budget, the second time we've done so. I'd like to remind this township and this township and its people, I've heard the prior speakers, we live here because of this town, for the school system. I moved here in 2004 before I ever had kids because I knew this was a great place to live and educate my children. Economically, this school is the anchor employer of head of household wages in this district. It deserves our economic and fiscal and moral support. Okay? That is too important to overlook. I look forward to the council answering questions. I'm fairly stunned and concerned as to why these payments aren't being made. Unfortunately, I can't make a council meeting due to a work commitment, but I hope to see as many people here as there are there. And I'd also like to add with Mr. Stinner, we're really gonna miss you. You're the man. You know, it's funny. I walk in tonight and I see two teachers who've taught two of my children who don't anymore, who go out of their way to walk up to me. How's your kids doing? How are your kids? Are they good? Are they well? I mean, Mr. Stinner asked them to go to the movies. Yeah. You know, this is not just a great employer. This is the focal point of the town, and I appreciate the effort that you put forth, and I'm proud of the effort that I put forth. So thank you. Thank you all.
Sabrina Henneman, 2 Glen Eagles Drive. And it seems like every time I come here, I don't intend to speak, but something moves me to speak. And now I find that it's the former mayor of the town that I chose to come to because of the school district. And I think I'm glad that I wasn't here to elect him, because I'm very, very, very frustrated. I have some disagreements with the board, but right now, I think that to say that the board is being threatening or is throwing down a gauntlet, because if the newspaper and reporters are getting this list of 26 questions before, they obviously had to have it before if they got a response or a reply from a reporter 3 minutes after they got that list. There is something underhanded going on at the town board. Or the town council. That is unacceptable to me. I'm just like astounded here. And then to the threaten, it's a threat to say, well, because of their actions, that you're automatically gonna get a review. It's like the IRS saying, hey, you know what, we're gonna audit you automatically because we don't like you, or we don't like the comments you said. That's unethical, absolutely unethical. I'm just astounded here. I just can't even comprehend it. And I want to thank Dr. Clark, because I think you had an excellent presentation. It's a lot to deal with for a lot of people to read through. But you know what? Were all the town council members at any of the previous budget review here? I'm not sure. I don't know all of our council members. I'm new to this district and to this town. But hey, you know what? Maybe if you were here at those meetings, then you would have had your questions answered. Just a thought. I don't know. I hope maybe some of them were. But I guess that's all I have to say. And I guess now I have to go to another meeting this week and not tuck my son in. So, oh well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Edwin.
Ben Atkinson, 3 Cobblestone Lane. Thank you for putting the time into the presentation to Dr. Clark and the entire board. In presentations like this, or perhaps it will be on the website, you took the trouble to write out all the questions, it would be lovely to also get you to write out your answers, because I'm not comfortable that all the questions were answered. Perhaps if I read the answer again instead of just trying to parse it verbally, I might feel more comfortable that the questions were answered. The one question that still sticks in my mind is why, based on verbally or visually seeing what's been up on the screen, and I haven't looked at every detail of the budgets, and I could have done that, so I apologize. It looks to me like spending on teacher salary and benefits has gone down much more per student than administrative salary and benefits. And maybe there's a good reason for that. I haven't heard that issue addressed, and I think that's an extremely important issue, and I would like to see that addressed in some way, shape, or form so that we're comfortable that you haven't scavenged every dollar on administration and cut that before you considered cutting the people who are directly spending time with the kids. I think that would be important to know more about. So that would be a request on my part for the future.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to address the board this evening?
Nope.
Dr. Clark is going to answer the questions that were asked at the podium during our first public comment section.
I'm hoping I got all of them. So I think Mrs. Marks asked about, is there another budget posted other than the user-friendly budget? The budget was, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Jeskowitz, the budget was in the, is it the April 21st? Which newspaper?
It was posted in the Huntington Democrat on the 21st. By law, we're supposed to post the budget in the newspaper. It's essentially the user-friendly budget, but it's a little bit more expanded.
It's more expanded. They can view that. They can come to the office and view it. Yeah, you can come to the office, the board office, if you call the board office. You can make an appointment and come and view the entire budget. We have a budget book.
Thank you.
Okay, let me see. I think Mrs. Rush asked about whether the town was charging for permits. They were charging us for permits. I did speak to the mayor, and right now that seems to have been addressed. In terms of moving the vote by the council, I'm not exactly sure what the question was, but I think it had to do with whether or not they can do that. By law, they do have the right to move the budget vote. So they have to discuss it at a public meeting, but they do have, it's a kind of little known piece of the way the law was written, but the town council does have the right to move that vote from April back to November, and they can do so at a public meeting. They would have to take a vote on that. I think, I'm not positive about this, but I'm pretty sure that if they do that, the school district must pay for that election. I guess that would be another unfunded mandate that we would have to go ahead and pay for that election in November. That would have to be added to the budget at some point in time. I thank everybody for their volunteerism, and I'm sorry that there's a feeling of a community divided. I think we've tried really hard to bring the community together. I hope that happens soon. Let me see. Were they given reasons for non-payment? I don't know that they gave a specific reason. We did email them and ask them. We really didn't get a specific reason other than they were having some problems. I don't know what that's defined as, but I don't know if it's difficulty collecting taxes. I think their collection rate is somewhere around 95% in this town, but they said that there were some problems. Let me see. The board ultimately, I think Mr. Marks asked about a cost benefit. That's going to be coming down the line. That's one of the things that we'll be looking at for the future. Let me see.
The answers will be on the website.
Writing out the answers. Yes, we will have them posted on the website probably tomorrow. So you'll be able to see all the answers with all the questions and all the charts. So you can look at those. You can always email me a question. I'm happy to help you out as you move through that. In terms of I think the question was about administrators.
Teachers and salary plus benefits, those costs appear to be down versus our administrative costs.
Right, okay. As I said, in the administrative cost line, that's not necessarily just the cost of administrators. There are multiple other costs that are included in that, and administrators are in some different lines. And we have tried to reduce costs there. We have an ongoing issue because we really had very few administrators in this district. We are not top heavy like some districts may be. We have principals of our schools. We don't have a vice principal in every building. We don't have, you know, tons of supervisors and all of that. We ran into a problem 2 years ago in the unfunded mandates, particularly New Jersey Achieve, where we actually were having difficulty meeting the requirements for all of the observations and evaluations because we didn't have enough people to do them. So we had to hire additional to do those, all right? We hired them at a low-level administrative salary. We are not out there on our administrative salaries, but we did have to hire some supervisors to complete those evaluations, all right, and meet the timelines and deadlines, because all of those have deadlines attached to them, all right, and to meet particularly investigations with HIV law, which administrators do, along with our school counselors, all right. So there's in the ad hoc feasibility presentation, there's a very detailed list of administrators and what their responsibilities are. That might help some. I think as we move through the future, we are going to have to reduce additional administration. That's going to be coming down the line. I'm sorry, folks. I love you all, but. Just part of the future with declining enrollment. We need what we have right now to meet the requirements of state laws. We asked for a waiver, by the way, for the last couple of years on some of those requirements. We did not get the waiver. We were not granted the waiver. We asked for it again. That might help. Okay. Did I get them all?
You got them all.
Okay.
I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section will be only for comments made by the public on school-related matters only. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. Once again, the board will take note and gather all the questions asked at the podium this evening and answer them at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. Once again, if you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We will be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 30 minutes.
Is this agenda?
Public.
Kevin Malloy, 15 David Post Road. Since I'm here, and I'd like, since before everybody leaves, I'd like to say one more thing. Dr. Clark, my last board meeting in December, you unfortunately couldn't attend, and I didn't get to thank you for being a colleague, an educator, a leader, and a role model. The schools are in better shape than when you arrived. I can't think of a higher compliment to be paid than that. And while I'm optimistic and look forward to your replacement, replacement is a fairly hollow word after serving with you. Thank you for everything you've done for this district. You will be missed. Thank you.
Nick Arcadilla, 73 Old Mountain Road. I worry about our First Amendment rights, the free speech, and to freedom of the press. And so I think it's important to ask this question. At the Monday, February 22nd, 2016 Board of Education meeting, Board President Maria Grant stopped Hunterdon reporter Marin Resnick, as she took out her camera and started taking photographs of the crowd at this public meeting. Ms. Grant, you asked Resnick to give you the memory card from her camera. Resnick refused, and you then asked her to delete her photos that she had taken in this room. Resnick unwisely deleted those pictures. You then asked her to put her camera away and not take any more pictures. Your policy notwithstanding about not interfering with board business, you violated the First Amendment rights of that reporter and of the public. In April 2004, the late U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia wrote letters of apology to two Mississippi reporters who were forced to erase their audio tape recordings of Scalia's remarks at a local high school. Scalia wrote to them, "I have learned my lesson at your expense and shall certainly be more careful in the future. Indeed, in the future, I will make it clear that recording for use of the print media is no problem at all." Supreme Court Justice of the Supreme, of the Justice of the Supreme Court issued an apology for making a reporter delete a recording of a public meeting. Ms. Grant, have you publicly apologized to the Hunterdon Review reporter, Marin Resnick, and to the public for interfering with our First Amendment rights to get the news about your meetings incomplete? Have you issued an apology? You're not going to answer my question? She's an elected official. It's documented in the paper that you did this. I think it's very unfortunate and shows a lack of leadership to not issue an apology when a Supreme Court justice, a conservative like Antonin Scalia, fesses up to doing something wrong with respect to interfering with the press in a public meeting, and you can sit there and stare at me and not answer the question. What that tells me is you never issued an apology. You don't intend to. You don't even acknowledge that you interfered with everyone's First Amendment rights, no matter what their politics are. You took a reporter's pictures from a public meeting. Your policy says nothing about any power that you have to confiscate photographs or any other recorded materials from anyone. It's shameful.
Hello. Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. First off, I just wanted to say thank you to the school board. I wanted to say thank you because I was one of those parents who were wondering also about the answers to those 26 questions that the council put out, yet not all of them stayed to hear the answer to, which I'll be there Wednesday too. I thank you for putting it out in a public session where everyone has a chance to come and see it. Now, I know I am one of the ones who usually calls and says you guys are not necessarily being as transparent as I would like, but I know you guys are working towards it and you are following everything, so I thank you for that too. Now, my concern is with all these rumors that I've been hearing and the town council taking our budget, moving it to April, moving the vote to April, which I completely disagree with and hope that that does not happen. My question is, what are the state classroom sizes? Are there any laws saying what the max amount of kids in a classroom are allowed? And also, and I know where we could, we would compare once I got the number, And also, I am concerned that if the town takes over the budget, this is going to lead to a reduction in our teachers, which is something else I've been hearing, and an increase in the class size. Anything more than our current amount would result in daycare versus educating our kids. I am very concerned with it, the kids just becoming a number and just becoming an amount. And I do not think that that is something that we need to go to. I understand there's some budgeting, and I've moved here in 2009. I've been sitting in my seat for the Board of Education meetings for about 4 or 5 years now. I've been coming, I want to say religiously almost, to almost every meeting that you guys have. And I have learned a lot. I am happy that there are more people in the audience tonight, and I hope that there are even more at the next meeting for people to educate themselves to learn more about our system. And I've seen you guys pass budgets that have been well done, and you have not been trying to hide money or anything. And maybe there were past BOEs that have done that. I did not live here at the time, so I cannot speak on that. But I am happy to hear that, I'm happy to see you guys put forth budgets that are not only are they lower, they are also benefiting our buildings and our students. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
It looks like the question for Mrs. Brennan was, what are the state laws on maximum size for students in the classroom? I do not believe they have a specific number, but it has to do what they look at when they do building walkthroughs and inspections, is they look at the amount of square footage per student within the classroom. So you really can't go over that, all right? I'm sorry, I apologize. I just don't remember the square footage amount per student, but it actually has to include the desk, all right? Any tables in the classroom, all of that have to be included. So you have to consider not only the students in the classroom, but the amount of furniture in the classroom as well, all right? So some classrooms, like if you look at the classrooms at Spruce Run, those are older classrooms, smaller size classrooms. They would have less square footage per student in those classrooms, whereas maybe the middle school classrooms, which are larger, might have, you know, more square footage. And so you could probably put more students in those classrooms as opposed to a Spruce Run classroom. I don't think they have a specific law about the maximum number, but it does have to do, you have to look at the size of your actual classroom, the square footage involved, to calculate each classroom.
Okay, now I'd like to move on to the report of the business administrator. Mr. Juskowitz, your report, please, sir.
The current date of the Board of Education's next regular meeting is Monday, May 9th, 2016 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, on 16-BA-030.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Hand. Any questions for Mr. Juskowitz, please? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mrs. Vanderhoff? Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes to all, but I'm going to abstain on the executive session minutes.
Mrs. Rudel-Golda?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to the reports of our committees, we'll start with Facilities and Finance. Mr. John Petuto is the chair of that committee. Mr. Petuto, can you give your committee's report, sir?
Certainly. Given the late hour, I will attempt to be brief. The Finance and Facilities Committee did not have the chance to meet since our last budget, or our last public meeting. However, we did have numerous discussions via telephone conference and emails where a number of topics were discussed, many of which appear on tonight's agenda. So, with that said, we have 20 action items on tonight's agenda, not including the one that was read earlier this evening. Those action items are 16FF195 through 16FF214. Most of the items are of the usual variety, including the payment of bills for the period ending April 25th, several requests for employee travel, items related to various student assessments, and several home instruction requests. There are two items I want to call out tonight. First and foremost is action item 16FF199, which is the approval of the 2016-17 budget. And related to that item is the next item, action item 16FF200, which relates to the schedule for the municipal tax payment schedule coming out of the budget. So this is the payment schedule that the town would remit their payments to the Board of Ed. With that, there is one other item I did want to bring up. It is action item, FF204. In this, the district is looking to contract with a vendor for the installation of solar panels on various school sites. This is in connection with the Energy Savings Improvement Program, or the ESIP. So this item will allow us to accept bills from various contractors for handling this work. With that, I'd like to set forward a motion for the approval of action items 16FF195 through 16FF214.
Thank you. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Petuto this evening?
I have one, John.
Sure.
On 204.
On 204.
The one relating to solar panels? Mm-hmm. The action item allows us to accept bills or bids?
Bids.
Bids. And who's doing the RFP? Is it the architect? Our architect?
They're working with the architect in conjunction with the vendor that we chose at the last board meeting, or I believe it was February's board meeting, which was Honeywell. And Honeywell is going to be sending out the RFPs for that.
They're like the manager? They're being
correct.
Hired
yes.
as the manager. And are there any programs still in place? I know we looked at it a few years ago. It wasn't viable because the SREC credits tanked. Is there still an SREC program?
There's an SREC program, but it's been picking up, but it's like a roller coaster. One of the primary reasons for us going in this direction is what we would pay having solar. We would be paying with a solar agreement 4 cents a kilowatt hour, as opposed to what we're paying is between 11 and 12 cents a kilowatt hour. And that would be locked in for approximately about 15 years.
Are we obligated to hire, as a result of this RFP, are we obligated to hire the low bidder or a vendor that submits a proposal?
We are not obligated to accept that bid until we look at it and determine it and discuss it in committee.
Okay. So, John, I would just push for like this one. I would want to see the numbers
before
I would be able to vote on it.
Sounds good.
Any other questions for Mr. Petuto?
I have a question on 16FF207. On the donation of the cabbage plants, what are we utilizing those for? Are those landscaping purposes? Are they instructional? Are we going to be consuming them? Just curious. Curious minds want to know. Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
I need to abstain on FF195 and FF205, and yes to the rest.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Rudelgota.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our second committee report of the evening, personnel negotiations. Ms. Vanderhoff is our chair. Can you please share your committee's report, please?
Thank you very much. Personnel committee met once since our last board meeting, and tonight we have over 30 action items for personnel. I'll try to be brief. We have their action items 16-PN-153 through 16-PN-184. We have two student teachers joining us at PMG in the fall of this year and spring of next year. We also have a couple of substitute coaches that have been identified for boys lacrosse at CTMS. There are many ESY extended school year updates from action items 16 PN 156 through 16 PN 165. Action items PN 166 through PN 173 outline rates of pay for home consultation and training assignments. We also accept with regret the resignation of a secretary at PMG. We wanted to confirm the suspension of an employee in the school district. There are three disability leave of absences coming up and a slight change in the return date for a disability leave of absence beginning in June. We are also happy to agree to rescind the retirement of school nurse Lynn DeLeo. And finally, action item 16-PN182 through 16-PN183 outline rates of pay for teacher assistants as well as substitute rates for five CTSD positions for the 2016-2017 school year. With that, I'd like to ask for a motion for action items 16-PN153 through 16-PN184.
Motion. Mr. Pituto? Second, please.
Second.
Looking for any questions, please, for Mrs. Vanderhoff? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Rudelgota?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Oh, I need to change, please?
Yes.
Yes on all. I'm going to abstain on action item 16 PN 184, please.
Motion still carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our Policy and Curriculum Committee. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Mrs. McLaughlin, may we please have the report of your committee?
Yes. The Policy and Curriculum Committee met on April 18th prior to the board meeting. So I usually kid Dr. Clark that it was an extensive meeting, but because the board meeting was right after, it couldn't be extensive. So she lucked out. We discussed a series of action items that you will see on the agenda, including second readings of policies and regulations. We also have first readings of administrative policies and regulations as we work to cohesively synthesize our policy binder that New Jersey School Boards has so graciously put together for us. In addition, we have a field trip that had to be amended in date for grade 7 from June 2nd to May 16th. We also are accepting the approval of the 3-year comprehensive equity plan from the county. We have a number of additional field trips tonight. The 6th grade resource and 6th grade students will be, I believe this is the move up on May 12th. On May 9th, the law students who were here previously tonight will be journeying to New Brunswick, and we wish them luck, and as well as the 8th graders. We also are approving the May 9th field trip by some 7th grade students to Lebanon Borough School. The 6th grade classes will be going to a theater presentation on May 24th, and the 8th grade class trip we'll be going to Branchburg. This is the 8th grade sponsored field trip that is paid for by the proceeds of the penny auction. I also want to call attention to action item 16 PC 38, which is the reflection of the last day of school. We had a unseasonably warm winter where we did not have a lot of snow days, and so we've had to give back some days. We had a very early spring break this year, and we had a very late meeting after spring break. This is the first meeting since spring break. There was one parent letter concerning the notification of the change in graduation date, and I would like to alert the board that in future years we need to be giving careful consideration to give back days and notifying parents. We worked very hard at this last meeting to try to align to the days that North Hunterdon High School gave back. But unfortunately, due to previous commitments in the district, including field days, professional development scheduled, and the New Jersey ASK science test in fourth grade, we were unable, unfortunately, to align. So I just want to caution the board that in subsequent years, we need to look more closely at this issue if we continue to have unseasonably warm winters. So with that being said, I'd like to move action items 16 PC032 through 16 PC038. I also want to mention that not only is June 10th the last day of school, but it will be also 8th grade graduation.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Mr. Sturgis. Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. Ruddle-Golda.
Yes.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to the ad hoc committee for the feasibility of closing the school, we have nothing to report this evening. I'd like to move on to old business of the board. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. Are there any board members that have any old business they would like to bring up this evening? No, seeing none, I'd like to then open the floor on new business. Under this section, like old business, is if there are any new topics that board members would like to bring up this evening, you may do so. Mr. Sturgis?
I just wanted to report that the ESC Delegate Assembly did meet in March, but just for purposes of time, it was a long meeting. I'd like to push the report to the next meeting. It's nothing urgent.
Sure. Thank you. Any other new business? No. Seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We will follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, limiting this public comment section to 15 minutes.
Hi, I'm Faith Furman, 3 Cobblestone Lane, and I will be brief. I want to thank you, and I want to thank the board for inviting our town council to come and address you and for us to be able to hear your response in a public way. I will just make a comment regarding any move afoot to move our budget vote away from the general election. I've been in the district long enough as a parent to remember when we moved it from April to November, and it was not pretty, but that was the right thing. It really is the right thing for that to stay at that time. We'll get a larger turnout, and if there is some success or really any serious movement in that direction, I'm going to ask that the school board and our teachers here really work against that and educate those in our community why that is not a good idea for anybody. I don't think people understand what that would mean in the long run out in our community. So that's all my comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening?
Paul Marks, 5 Cottonwood Court. First question comment is in reference to action item 16 FF204 about the solar, about an RFP for solar. I'm curious, is this a mandate, an external mandate, funded or unfunded, driving this? I see nothing in here about that, of why it's being requested. I'd also like to see if there's some more information on how many sites, how many megawatts you're looking to do, things of that sort. It seems very, very short on some information. I'd like to see some of that in the public record. Next one is from action item 16 PN175 about a suspension of an employee. I'm not asking for the person's name, but would like to know why someone is being suspended. And last is, my last comment question is on the feasibility of the school closing ad hoc. I'd like to know when you'll be making a recommendation and when you'll be voting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lana Brennan, 21 Pond Drive. I had two quick questions. One, I just wanted to confirm that the last 2 days now, the June 9th and 10th, will be half days.
They are by contract.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. And my other thing was, I had spoken to the county clerk, and I had asked her about the moving of the vote. And since both forms, you guys and the council can choose to change the date, there's nothing in the law that says what happens if you two conflict. So have we looked into that to see what we could do if, say, the council decides whether or not the town believes it, but if the council decides to change it, is it just whoever puts it last and gets the last word in, or is there something that we can do, you know, but since the law does not directly spell out what happens in the event that that your two don't agree. So, thank you.
Thank you. Lynn DeLeo, 9 Tree Line Drive, Annandale. I just want to say thanks for letting me rescind my retirement. As you know, I know many of you from taking care of all your kids, but this really has been a major part of my life. And my husband and I had a plan A and had a little quirk in our life, and now we have a plan B. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, Mr. Jeskowitz, can you please read the executive session statement, please? Oh, sorry. I'm going to back up a second. We're going to answer questions. My apologies.
Regarding the situation with the solar, over the last, I'd say if we went back to last year, we have gone out to look at energy savings in the district. We have many things that aren't working in our district, such as our controls for each of the building. In one building, I have three controls that conflict one another, causing the heat not to work. And what we're doing is in this energy savings improvement plan, which is what the initials ESIP stand for, we went through one bid with one company and we only had one come back. We did this, we went out for a second time of a bid, and this is going back to last year of where we're at now. On the second bid that came back, it's the same company that basically won the bid. So what we have done is we have elected to choose them as our project manager with all these pieces of what we're looking to do. We're exploring solar for the simple fact that it's going to further our dollars and what we can do energy efficient wise. What we look to do is change all the lighting in all the school buildings to LED lighting, which is very cheap, the bulbs last longer, and the ballast lasts longer. Over the last 5 years, the technology has improved to such great degrees that many school districts have undertaken this technology and are using it to now start to use more energy savings. And with that savings, we can also fund all these different various projects that are going on. The example that I can give is, let's say in our budget we have $500,000 that we use for energy. What the plan comprises is once we come together with all these components, we still retain that same budget of what we're utilizing for our utilities, except part of it's now going to be paying off all those pieces that we're installing in our district to have us become energy efficient. In speaking about also using solar will bring us into an era where we don't have to depend on the high cost of energy at 12 cents a kilowatt hour. Now we'll be locked into something for a long time at four cents a kilowatt hour. Having all that being said, that is what's going to fund all these projects and for us to come together and replace some of the air handlers that we have in some of our schools to make them more energy efficient and for them to work better and to provide heat and hopefully air conditioning. I don't
Thank
know if that's answered your question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The question about a personnel matter is a confidential. The board can't answer that question.
I'm sorry, Mr. Marks. We're at the point of answering questions at the moment, please.
I understand.
Thank you, sir.
I understand, Ms. Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Marks.
No, I'm going to
Thank you. Would you like to please answer the rest of the questions, Dr. Clark?
Because when someone's suspended, I think the public has a right to know to ask if and when were any of their children ever at any risk. That's why I asked why.
Mr. Marks, this is not an opportunity for you to speak. I would ask for you to please stop. Thank you. Dr. Clark, can you please answer the remaining two questions?
In terms of the feasibility, no date has been set at this time for a response. You may hear something in future meetings. There was another, Mrs. Brennan asked a question. Sorry, I almost missed it. Have we looked into what the options are? The law is fairly new, so we're trying to find out more information at this point.
Thank you. Mr. Jeskowitz, please, the executive session statement, sir.
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, etc., requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth nine types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement include the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representative of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing of the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employees and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is personnel and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 45 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business, now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action will not be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Yahara? Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Going into executive session. Thank you. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is reconvened. Looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting, please?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Abstentions? Anyone opposed? Meeting is adjourned.
I'm going to do one.